Today's Shi'as Masechta Pesachim, Daf Ayin Dalad. We will begin on Daf Ayin Dalad, Amud Aleph. The Torah teaches us regarding how to prepare the Korban Pesach. Al Toichum Emenu Na, one may not eat from the Korban Pesach when it's not No, as we learned, means that it's like less than Machal Ben Rusoi. Or one may not eat from it. When it's boiled in water, it may only be eaten roasted. The animal intact. And our perek begins to discuss exactly how the roasting has to take place. And as the Mefarshim, the real Milonil, already explains, how does this perek follow the previous perek? Because in the previous parak we spoke extensively about what would be the halacha when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, that we said that we may shech the Korban Pesach under those circumstances. But we learned that even though we're allowed to shech the Korban Pesach under those circumstances, the halacha is that we may not roast the Korban Pesach until Matzoi Shabbos. So now the Mishnah says, so after Shabbos is over and we may roast the Korban Pesach, the Mishnah discusses exactly Ketzat Tzoylon Sapesach, how do we do the roasting when we are allowed to do it. So says the Mishnah, Mevi'in Shvud Shal Rimon, we bring a wood stick from a Rimon tree, V'toich V'toich Piv, and we put it into the mouth of the animal, Ad Beis Nekevosoi, until the back, from it goes through the entire animal. And according to the Tanakhama, we put all of the organs, the legs, and the intestines back into the animal, because that's how he defines what the pasuk says. Tzli'esh roshei al krov al kirboi. Divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Kiva says, no, that wouldn't be acceptable, because then it turns out that the parts of the animal that we put back into the animal are not being roasted. They're being cooked in the animal. That is a form of cooking. And as we just said, the Torah says that we're not allowed to cook the animal, the Korban Pesach. Ela Toilon, what's done is we take these the legs and the insides and we put them chutzoloi outside of the animal. So the halach is, as we just learned in the Mishnah, that we put the stick inside the animal, so the animal's mouth, so the animal will remain open, and anything that's in the animal will have an opportunity to exit the animal. There's a machloikus how it was done, but the way it seems that most Rishonim point out is that you had this stick and that you put through the animal, and the animal was then hung on top of the oven. The Mishnah uses the words Mevi'in, so I saw that the Mefarshim explained, if it would have said the word Loichin, that we take, it would indicate that we could use the same stick every year. But because of a hidden mitzvah, they wanted to take a new stick every year. So that what they did, so that's why the Mishnah says, Mevi'im, every year they used a new stick. They didn't use the same stick that they used last year. We're going to learn in the Gemara that the reason they specifically used the Shvut Shal Rimon is because with all other sticks, it may detract from the Tzli'esh. There are liquids that will come out of the stick or other points, and therefore we specifically used a stick of Rimon that doesn't have those problems. So now we have a question. According to Rabbi Yosef, we just learned the Machlokes, Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Kiva, what should be done with the legs, with the other parts of the body? Are they put inside the animal or are they left outside the animal? So I saw that the Mefarshim, all the Mefarshim ask him, Yosef Glili, that the issue that Rabbi Akiva raised, that when you put different parts of the animal into the animal, so even if they're getting roasted because they're all over the fire that's roasting this carbon, still they're being roasted not from the fire directly. They're being roasted from the heat of the fire that roasts the outside of the animal. That, and then ultimately that heat from the outside of the animal penetrates that meat on the outside roasts what's on the inside. So why is Rabbi Yosef Glili allowed that to happen? So why is that not considered tzli machm stavar acher? That's not getting roasted because of the fire. It's getting roasted because of the meat that's outside that's roasting the meat that's inside. So the Tosfos Rid points out, he says that if that were really a consideration, says Rabbi Yosef Glili, so we can never roast any carbon Pesach. Because whenever you roast a piece of meat that's thicker, the outside layer of the meat gets roasted first, the layer that's closest to the fire. And then only the part that's inside gets roasted. So what creates that the inside part gets roasted? The outside meat brings heat on the outer layer, causes the inner layer to get roasted. So then you should never be able to roast anything. What's the answer? The answer is quite obvious, that the Torah says roast in the normal way. And that's what happens when you roast an animal. So since that's what happens when you roast an animal, says Rabbi Yosef Glili, just like I'm not concerned when I think about a piece of meat, about the outer layer and the inner layer, so too am I not concerned, says Rabbi Yosef Glili, about what's inside the animal and outside the animal. Rashi explains that what's the reason for Rabbi Akiva, that whatever you put into the animal looks like you're cooking it. And therefore, even though Rabbi Akiva technically agrees that that's the way you roast something, but since it looks like it's being cooked, Rabbi Akiva says that's not what the Torah wanted. There's another way that I saw that the Rashba explains, quoting a Yerushalmi, that what's the machloikus of Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Akiva? The machloikus is how to define the pasuk of Roshay Akrov Al Kirbay. Rabbi Yosef Glili says Al means Al, really inside. We had this machloikus previously. Does Al mean besamach? And he holds that Al means besamach. And Rabbi Akiva holds that Al doesn't mean that these other parts of the animal have to be actually inside the animal to fulfill what it says in the Torah, Roshay Al Karov Al Kirbay. If you put it outside the animal, it's still going to be considered Roshay Al Karov Al Kirbay. I saw that the Baruch Tam explains the Machlokes of Yosef Glili and the Rabbanon based on a question that we discussed in the beginning of the Masechta. What's the halacha of Tzli Keder? Something that's roasted, but roasted in a pot, not roasted directly over the fire. Is Tzli Keder considered Tzli or not? So he wants to suggest that Rabbi Yosef Glili holds that Tzli Keder is considered Tzli. And therefore, the parts of the animal that you're putting inside the animal are similar to Tzli Keder. But according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, that is considered Tzli. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, and that's the way we actually paskin, that Tzli Keder is considered Tzli. And therefore, Pesach by night, as we learned, we're going to speak about it soon in the Gemara, that our minig is not to eat roasted meat. When we don't eat roasted meat, not only don't we eat meat that was roasted over a fire, but even Tzli Keder, meat that's roasted and meat that's roasted in a pat roast, we don't eat either. Whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that Tzli Keder, something roasted in a pot, is not considered Tzli. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva is going to hold that the parts of the animal that you're putting into the animal are Tzli Keder. And if the Torah says that the Karban Pesach should be eaten Tzli, that is not considered that you ate those parts Tzli. Says the Mishnah, Ein Tzonos Pesach, Loyal Shvud, you're not allowed to use a metal stick to roast the Karban Pesach, because when you put the metal stick into the animal, it's the stick that makes the animal get roasted, the heat of the stick, not the fire. V'loy min askala, one shouldn't, even if you're using a wood stick, shouldn't put it, hang it on a metal piece. Again, because we're always concerned that the heat of the metal is what's going to cause the carbon Pesach to get cooked. Amr Tzadik Masra Gamliel Shama Temel Evdei. There was a situation where Rabbi Gamliel told Sevi his Eved, Tzleyu Tzleyu Lanos HaPesach Al Askala, that you may use an Askala, if you, even though it's supported on a metal stick, since it's a metal piece, that's not considered that it's actually being roasted on metal, and therefore it's not also. I saw from here that even though there is a point to do a mitzvah by yourself, here our Mishnah says that Rav Gamliel asked Tevi to do the roasting of the Karn Pesach. Why didn't Rav Gamliel do the roasting himself? So the Paiskin want to suggest that even though one doing a preparation of a mitzvah, one should do it by himself, even though mitzvah yoyseh mishluchai, whenever it comes to doing a mitzvah, it's preferable to do the mitzvah yourself and not ask someone else to do the mitzvah for you. Here, that's when the preparation itself is a mitzvah. For example, there's a point to do hachana for Shabbos, preparation for Shabbos yourself. When is there a point to do preparation for Shabbos yourself? Because hachana Shabbos is a mitzvah. So since hachana Shabbos is a mitzvah, it's preferable that you do it yourself, not ask somebody else to do it for you. But in other situations where hachana is not a mitzvah itself, there you could ask somebody else to do it for you. Ask the Gemara. Our Mishnah says that we took a wood spit. Ask the Gemara, V'naisi shamatchas, why can't we use a metal spit? Answers the Gemara, Aydi d'cham k'tzosu cham kula. Since we have a principle that if something is partially hot, it's considered like the entire thing is hot. V'kamatvi machs v'shvud. So now when you're using this metal stick is going to give off heat into the Karan Pesach, and that part of the Karan Pesach is going to get roasted, not just because of the fire, but also because of the heat of the stick, because it's metal. Metal conducts heat. Rachmana amit sliyesh v'loy tzli machm stover acher. And this concept of cham miktzos cham kuloy is a very important concept in kashering, because on one hand, if you use something that is hot, if a keli became non-kosher because it was exposed to heat, but let's say you have a spoon that got exposed to heat that got not kosher, you stuck a milchige spoon, a dairy spoon, into your fleishige pot, but you didn't stick the entire spoon in, you only stuck part of it. So will the halacha be that you only have to kasher the part that was in the pot? Or do we even have to kasher the part that was outside the pot? So the halacha is that cham miktzasai, cham kulai, and not only the part of the spoon that was inside, that touched the food that was inside the pot must be kashered, but the entire spoon must be kashered because of the concept of cham miktzasai, cham kulai. However, even though we're applying the concept of cham miktzasai, cham kulai, still, the halacha is that if we're kashering it, so now we have the spoon that's not kosher, and we have to kasher it, there we won't apply the concept of cham miktzasai, cham kulai. And if you kasher just part of it, it's as if you kasher the entire spoon. When you have to kasher the spoon, you have to kasher the entire spoon. Our Mishnah is focusing on what the Torah HaKadosh says regarding the Karan Pesach, is that a lav or it's only a mitzvah to say? The Rashi holds that if somebody roasts, somebody doesn't prepare the Karan Pesach the right way, he's over a lav, for which he gets malchus. Tosfos is of the opinion is that it's only a mitzvah to say, not a lav. So ask the Gemara, so we've explained why we can't use a metal spit. But ask the Gemara, V'naisi shel dekel, why can't we bring from a dekel tree? Why do we have to bring from the Riemann tree? Answers the Gemara, Ida de islay shibi, it has cracks and mapik maya, and water comes out of those cracks. So when the water comes out of the cracks, it causes that the Karm Pesach should get cooked. And as we've been learning, a Karm Pesach must be roasted, not cooked. Ask the Gemara of Anayas Shal Taina, why don't we bring from the Taina tree? Answers the Gemara, Ida de machalchel, since it has marrow inside, it's soft with something inside. So again, since it has something inside, mapik maya, it gives off water. And again, we have the same problem, vavika mevushal, it's considered mevushal. Ask the Gemara further, v'naisa shal arlan, bring from the arlan tree, shal charef, from the carob tree, v'shal shikma, from the sycamore tree. All of these are hard pieces of wood. Why can't we use them to roast the Karm Pesach? Answers the Gemara, I did the Isbe Kitri. All of these pieces of wood have knots, and since they have knot, they are not eating mapik maya. There's water that comes out from the spot where there are knots on this piece of wood. Ask the Gemara, but Shurim Anami Isbe Kitri. But if you look at the wood from the Rimon tree, it also has these knots. So why is that acceptable? Answers the Gemara, She Kitri. All the other knots are not smooth. This is a smooth, even if it has a knot, it's smooth. And since it's smooth, no water, no moisture comes out of the wood. Vibay Seima, another way of explaining our Mishnah. We're talking about Benagva Bashata, where it's a young tree that doesn't have the Lispe Netri. They don't have, at that young age, they don't have knots. And the Sfasemis points out that the other trees, wood, that was just mentioned in our Gemara, even when they come from a very young tree, already have Kitri. Whereas the Rimon tree does not develop the Kitri until it's more mature. Ask the Gemara, but even if along the piece of wood there are no knots, Veikabe Paski, at the piece of wood is presumably longer than the animal. So if the piece of wood is longer than the animal, you have to cut it. And in the spot that you cut it, that's where there's moisture coming out. Answers the Gemara, the mapik lebe piski labar. You have a long enough stick that the part where you cut it, at the top of this piece of stick and the bottom of the piece of stick are sticking outside the animal. Says the Gemara, Masnisin, that says that we're not allowed to use a shvut shamaschis, says the Gemara is like Rabbi Yehuda, does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shame shvut shal esrif. That's like a wood piece of wood, in a nisrif. Why doesn't it get burnt when you use it to put the Karm Pesach, to put it into Karm Pesach? Because the animal that's around the piece of wood prevents the piece of wood from getting burned. Similarly, kach shvut shal matchis, when we speak about a metal piece that's put into the animal, Eina Masiach, doesn't get hot because the animal prevents it from getting very hot. Amalai, so the Chachamim who disagree with Reb Yehuda and say that by wood, we can use, but a piece of wood can be used, a piece of metal can't be used. They said, Shezeh Cham Ktsasei Cham Kuloi. By metal, as we spoke a few moments ago, there's a point of Cham Ktsasei Cham Kuloi, and therefore, since the part that's outside gets hot, it affects the part that's inside as well. By wood, there is no concept, Cham Ktsasei Cham Kuloi. We don't apply this concept. So we learned the Machlokes in the Mishnah of Rabbi Yosef Aglili and the Rabbanon, exactly what's done with the animal. So Rabbi Yosef Aglili's opinion was, Noisens Kroyev, we take all of these parts and put it into the animal. Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Kareya, Rabbi Shmuel would call the procedure of roasting the Karm Pesach, toich, because you put it completely into the animal. So Rashi explains that he called it toich, because Rabbi Yosef Aglili held that we took all these parts and put it into the animal. Reb Tarfon would call it, Kerei would call such an animal Gedima Kulos. And a goat, that's Makolos, because Rekiva says you put things outside the animal. And here too, we put it outside the animal. So since we called roasting the Karban Pesach the way we eat it on Pesach by night, Gedi Makolos, and as we discussed earlier in the Masechta Perek Makom Shenagu, we learned that our minig is that we don't eat roasted meat, certainly when the animal is whole on Pesach by night. So says the Braisa, Tanur Rabbanan, Ezek Dil Mekulos, Das Lecha B'Leil Pesach, that the minig is that we don't eat such a carbon on Pesach. Koshet Tzluka Echad, if you have the entire animal and you roasted it in one entirely together. Because that was the way the carbon Pesach was prepared in the Beis HaMikdash, was prepared by when we had the Karban Pesach. So somebody's going to eat meat on the night of Pesach that way, where we take an entire animal and roast it and put it on the table. It looks like we're eating kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside Yerushalayim. However, therefore says the Braisa, nechtech menu ever, if part of the animal was detached, nishlak menu ever, or part of the animal was boiled, so then it doesn't look like a gdi makulus, and therefore the concern that it looks like we're eating kotch and b'chutz doesn't apply. And as the Tzlach explains, that if we look at Rashi, Rashi says b'zman hazeh. What is Rashi trying to point out with b'zman hazeh? So Tzlach explains that maybe in the time where it's Beis HaMikdash, we have to be very careful how we eat the Karban Pesach, because people could come to the conclusion that we didn't prepare it the right way. But b'zman hazeh, where unfortunately there is no Beis HaMikdash, or for us that live in Chutz La'aretz, so the concern that anybody's eating Karban Pesach, eating meat the night of Pesach that way, that people should think that this is kachim, is somewhat far-fetched. Still, this meaning applies even b'zman hazeh. But ask the Gemara on the din that we just learned in the Braisa, that a nishlak mimenu aver, that if one of the organs was boiled, that we don't have to be worried about this chash. Ask the Gemara, hashtag yishlam nechtam mimenu aver, if one of the organs was disconnected, dafakav the kamat v'le b'hadei, you're roasting that organ, you're just not roasting that organ attached to the animal, amrit loy, that's already not considered gedim makulos, so nishlak. So if that organ was boiled, so certainly nobody's going to consider it that it's a roasted animal. So of course, the halacha is that it shouldn't be aser. Why did the Braisa have to teach us? So tells Rav Sheshes, the way to understand the Braisa is nishlak mimenu aver is sheshoka b'mechubur. In other words, the Braisa is teaching us two separate halachas. One halacha is that if the organ is detached, then the halacha is that it's not a gedim makulos. Because by definition, a gedim makulos is only when the entire animal is together. And then the Braisa teaches us another halacha. You indeed have the entire animal intact, but this one organ wasn't roasted. This one organ was boiled. That's already enough that it should not be considered gedim makulos as well. The halacha is that, of course, the pasuk says v'chol dam lo sechelu. So even though we shechted a piece of meat, we can't cook that piece of meat because it has blood in it, and we have to extract the blood. The way we extract the blood is by salting it, waiting for at least the amount of time kedei hiluch mil to have the blood come out, and then we rinse it, and that's the way we kasher meat, that it should have the blood extracted. However, there is another way of extracting blood. That is by roasting the blood, by roasting the meat. The roasting process pulls out the blood, and that's a way of kashering the meat from the blood. Rashi teaches us in Divrei Maskil Sharia that even when we use the roasting method to extract the blood, we should put on a little salt on it. Tosis Divrei Maskil Hai questions Rashi, if you're only putting on a little salt, that doesn't accomplish anything. And furthermore, Tosfos points out that roasting has the ability to extract the blood. So if roasting has the ability to extract the blood, there's no problem, there's no need to salt it. Tosfos says this, that we know that we salt the blood before, that even before, salt the meat slightly, even before we do roasting, is just a minig. And even the Tzlach says that according to Rashi, that we do the salting, that's only because of a minig. If you roasted the meat without salting it, it would be an acceptable way of extracting the blood. So now the Gemara begins to discuss Haimel Yosoi, where you had meat that wasn't salted, and you filled up the meat, you stuffed that piece of meat with another piece of meat that was also not salted. And now the question is that considered a legitimate way of kashering the inside meat? Or is the fact that the outside meat was salted and the inner meat wasn't salted, will that not be acceptable? So the Pesukim discuss what will be the halacha if, so the meat that's being discussed in our Gemara is both the outside meat and the inside meat weren't salted. What will be the halacha, says Rashi, if the inside meat was already salted, but not the outside meat? So Rashi says, for sure, that would be accepted. Even though Rashi says that that's for sure acceptable, there is a machlokes paiskim if that indeed is the halacha. The Ramah in Yerudeya, Simon Ayin Zayin, Sif Aleph, indeed paskins that that's the halacha. That if the inside meat was salted and the outside meat wasn't salted, the meat is still, and that's how you salt the meat, that it's 100% fine. The Shach there in Sif Katan Beis disagrees, and he holds that would be usur. Because since all of the blood of the inner meat was already extracted, then that will prevent the inner meat from helping the Adamite. That will prevent the salting from working properly. Ask the Gemara, but why is the halacha, going back to the simple way of learning the Gemara, where you have the inner meat and the outer meat, both not kashered, but why, when the inner meat is being salt, when you're salting the outer meat, and all the blood from the inner meat starts going through the outer meat, so that outer meat, Kabbalah Dama, is absorbing that blood that's coming out of the inner meat? Answers the Gemara, we have a rule, Kabbalah Kach Paltoi, that the inner meat, that the outer meat that accepts the blood from the inner meat also will pull out the outer meat, the blood from the outer meat. Name him a Sile. So says the Gemara, I'll bring you a raya that indeed is what happens. Because we learned according to Rabbi Yosef Glili that how do you roast all of the Karban Pesach? Noisens krevis b'nei me'el v'tachai. Ma'atam. What's the reason that we don't have to worry that the meat that's inside the animal, that meat is going to get absorbed into the outer animal? So here too, we say, Kabbalah Kach Paltoi. Amri. But then they said that the comparison is not really correct. Shani Hasam, the Kim this Bebe Shchita. When you're hanging the Karban Pesach, as we discussed, there's the part at the top of the animal where the animal was slit, the head and neck was slit, and any blood could pour out that way. Kivin dekabes shchita, the mechalchel, blood flows out. Creative divi, it all falls out that way. That's why it's a legitimate way of kashering roasting. But where that's not being done, why would it be mutter? Name him Sile. And now the Gemara wants to bring a raya to the concept of Kabbalah Kach Paltoi. Name Masailei. The Mishnah in Masech Techulin, Daf Kuf Tes Amud Aleph, teaches us Halev. Before we roast the meat, of the hot meat that we want to kasher, Kairoi, we have to slit it upwards and up and down horizontal and vertical, or moitzi estamoy, and that's how all the blood that accumulated in the heart exits the heart. And after you do that, you roast it. However, loy karoy, if you didn't slit it before you roasted it, karoy lacha bishuloy. After you roasted it, you could also slit it. Umutter, and you may be allowed to eat it. My tama, why is that acceptable, that we should only make the cut after the roasting? Before you roasted it, why aren't we concerned that all of the blood that's in the heart that has a significant accumulation of blood, because all of the blood of the animal, of any human, of any animal, goes through the heart, we're still not concerned. Why not? And therefore, all of the blood that's accumulated in the heart gets extracted from the heart. Says the Gemara, Shani Lev Deshia. We can't bring a raya from the heart. The heart is very smooth. And therefore, since the heart is very smooth, the blood that's included in it doesn't get really absorbed in the piece of meat. And since it doesn't really get absorbed in the piece of meat, that's why kashering the heart is much easier. So here we learned a new concept, that even when something needs to be kashered, if it's shear, the definition of the word shear is smooth, if it's something smooth, then you don't have to, it doesn't really absorb. And this is very negaya, very relevant to the question, can glass be kashered? Does glass need to be kashered? Because glass is also shear, obviously smooth. So the Shulchan Aruch, in Archaim, Simon Tuf Nun Aleph, Sif Katan Sif Chavov, discussing this question, says that if glass was used for chametz all year round, and now you want to use that glass vessel on Pesach, says the Shulchan Aruch, there's no need to kasher it. Because, and uses the heart as the raya, something that's smooth, we need not be concerned that it boileya. The Trumas Hadeshin, quoting the Smag, says that no, that we have to treat glass like cheres, we have to treat glass like earthenware, and just like we know that halacha is that earthenware can't be kashered, so too glass, which is similar to earthenware, they're both made from the sand, can't be kashered. And Rama, in that sif that we just quoted, quotes the smag that says that you can't kasher glass, and that glass should be considered like kli cheres. And he says, "Shekein haminig ba'ashkenaz u'medinos elu she'ein hagola me'elus l'kli zechuchas." So the Gemara takes the strict approach, and in fact, even though the Shulchan Aruch is lenient for glass, the Stechemid says that even the Sfardim who paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, the Sfardim who want to be mahadur should follow the opinion of the Ma, not the Kasher Grilles. And the Shas Chuvs Rav Poalim says even the Sfardim who follow the opinion of Shulchan Aruch, if they want a Kasher glass, they can't just do it kashering once, you have to have mili v'iri three times. However, many poskim explain that when the Rama is machma by glass, it's only for Pesach. But for all year round, the Rama will agree that kashering glass is shia and it doesn't need to be kashered. Says the Gemara, for Rav and Sava, we're going back to the concept that the Gemara spoke about, Kabbalah Kach Paltoi, says the Gemara, V'rov and Sovin, Tafla Hu Goes L'Rav, put dough around this bird that wasn't roasted yet, Vamalei, and Rav and Sovin told, and Rav said to Rav and Sovin, Imale Tafle, if the taste of this dough that was around the bird is good, Havli V'Eichel, I want to eat from that coating. But why are we not concerned for Kabbalah Kach Paltoi, that the coating absorbed the dam of the bird as we were roasting it? It must be Kabbalah Kach Paltoi, that it did absorb, but the way it absorbed, it also expelled, and there's no dam left in that coating, and that's why Rav was comfortable in eating that coating. Says the Gemara, it's not a raya. Because there we're talking about Ahuba smited the mifur. We're talking about flour that wasn't in one piece. There were cracks in it, and that's why the blood went out of the cracks. Ask the Gemara, Varava ikal bei Resh Galusa. Ravan once came to the home of Resh Galusa, Vatafle bar Avza, and they coated for him this bird. Vamar ilav de chazise. If not for the fact that I saw that zig kezuzah chivra, that the coating was clear, there was no blood accumulated in that coating, la'achlemenei, I would not have eaten from it. But why not? If we say that all the blood that goes through the coating then exits the coating, my area, kizig, why does it have to be that all of the liquid that emanates from this coating has to be clear, that will be an indication that there's no blood left in the coating? I feel kizig, even if the liquid that doesn't go through the coating, nami, that locha should be that you're allowed to eat it, because we're saying that the coating, whatever blood goes into the coating, Kabbalah Kach Paltoi exits the coating as well. Answers the Gemara, Hasam B'Chavirta. There we were talking about a very fine flour, the shorer, that makes a very hard coating around the blood, and that hard coating doesn't let all of the blood exit. V'Hilchasa and Dalocha. The Smida, if the coating around the bird is out of soilus, the loch is bein ismik, bein oilismik, whether the liquid that emanates through that coating is clear or not, red or not, sharia, we're not concerned. We say whatever blood came out from the bird also came out of the coating. The chavirta, when it's this type of flour, izig kizuzu chivra, if the liquid that comes out is pure, there's no reddish to it, sharia, then we're going to be allowed to eat it. Viloy, otherwise also we may not eat that dough. The shar kmachim, by other types of flour, which aren't as extreme in behavior. Asmig, if the liquid that goes through this flour is reddish, usur, we will not be allowed to eat the coating. Loy asmig, but if the liquid that comes out of the coating is not that red, shari will be allowed to eat it. So in Amar Aleph, we discussed the milyosei, that we put meat, one meat into another meat, and that's how we roasted it, which, as we've been discussing, is a legitimate or even perhaps a preferable way of extracting blood. And the question is, can that be a legitimate way of kashering for extracting the blood for both pieces of meat? Says the Gemara, man da osur, the man da omer that was machmer, that was concerned that the outside meat is going to absorb from the dam of the inside meat, says the Gemara, filip pomel atachas, even if the meat, there's an opening for the blood to come out, will still be osur. Or man da shari, in the man da omer that says that it's mutter, doesn't have to have that there's a place for the blood to roll out. I feel a puma la'el, then he's also not concerned. The hilchasa, and that is indeed the halacha, the mayusoi shari, I feel a puma la'el, because we said, kabbalah kachpaltoi, any blood that comes out from the inner meat and goes through the outside layer will go out completely, and there's no problem. But the Ramah paskins in Evan in Yerudai Simon Ayin Zayin Sif Aleph that this is only b'di'evit. B'l'chatchila, one should not do milyosoi, one should not put the non-kosher meat, both non-kosher meat into another piece of non-kosher meat. Umtza. So we continue discussing different halachis in kashering meat to get the blood out. Umtza. When you have a piece of meat that has like a bruise, we have an accumulation of blood, or known as bloodshot. Beye, the testicles of a male animal. Or mizriki, the arteries that are in the neck of the animal that have an accumulation of blood. Pliga by Rav Acher Avinu. So says the Gemara, says Machlokes Rav Acher Avinu, how to roast these pieces of meat to get out the dam. And the Gemara makes an observation. B'chol Torah Kula, whenever we have a Machlokes in Shas between Rav Acher and Ravina, and we know that one, and we don't know who held what, we just know one has a more lenient opinion and one has a stricter opinion, we could always assume that Rav Acher l'chumra, Rav Acher is the strict opinion, Ravina l'kula, and Ravina is the more lenient opinion. And the halacha is k'Ravina l'kula. And then we follow that lenient opinion of Ravina. But the Miri points out that that is only in a case where we don't know who holds what. So we don't know who holds what. We will attribute the lenient opinion to Ravina, the stricter opinion to Rav Acha, and we will follow the opinion of Ravina. But if we know who holds what, this rule isn't cited. It's not that we always follow the opinion of Ravina, Lakula, even when we know what he says. Furthermore, says the Miri, that this rule only applies when these two Amoraim, Ravina and Rav Acha, are the only two Amoraim in this Machlokes. But if there are other Amoraim in this subject, then that these rules don't necessarily apply. Levar Mahani Tlas, there are three exceptions. Rav Acha, where we had a Machlokes Rav Acha and Ravina, we don't know who holds what. Where we attribute the lenient opinion to Rav Acha, Ravina, we say, is the stricter opinion. V'hilchas k'Ravach l'kula, and we follow Rav Acha's lenient opinion. What's the first question? Our Gemara, hi umtza the ismik, this piece of meat that had a bloodshot. Chatche umalche, if you make cuts in the piece of meat and salt the piece of meat all over, then the halachas afilik der shari, then you could just salt it and cook the meat. You don't need to roast it. Shafte b'shvudoi, if you just hung it over a fire, shari, you're allowed to eat the meat. That's considered an acceptable way of extracting the blood. Made of daiv, because all of the blood will come out of this animal. Achseh gumri, if you put the meat on pieces of coal, pligaba, that's what we're going to have in Machlokes Rav Acher Ravina. Chad osur v'chad shari. One will say that that's an acceptable way of extracting the blood, and one says not. Manda osur, Ravina, who says that that's not acceptable, mitzvah somas. We have to be concerned that all of the blood will, because of the heat of the coals that's actually touching the meat, will cause the blood to remain in the meat itself. Or manda shari, the mandama that holds that even that's acceptable way of roasting the meat to extract the blood, says mishav shav, the heat of the coal extracts all of the blood, and the hilchasa, and that is the halacha mishav shav. V'chein beyi, the testicles, chetchinu umalchinu. If you make cuts in them, and you then do melicha, I feel like there is shari, you could cook it. Talina b'shvuda, if you hang it up on a piece of wood over the fire, shar, everybody agrees that that's an acceptable way of kashering them, because made of daiv, all the blood flows out. Echsina gumri, if they put on pieces of coal, again, Pligabar Rav Acher Ravina, it's Machlokes Rav Acher Ravina, Chad Osir v'Chad Shari, Manda Osir is concerned mitzvah Sari, or Manda Shari, Mishav Shav. The next case was Mizriki, the pieces of the arteries next to the neck. Chatche Umalche, if you make cuts in them and you salt them, the halachas afilik deri Shari, you could cook it. Tali b'shvud that they were hung over the fire. Deis hashchita l'tatoi, if the neck is facing downwards, shari, then you may eat this because there's where the blood should flow out, made of doiv. Achse agumri, if you put them on top of coals, pligi Rav Acher Ravina. Chad osur v'chad shari. Man osur holds mitzvah tzaras, that the blood, because the meat is right on top of the coals, it causes that the blood should get baked into the pieces of meat. Or Manda Shari, the one that says it's fine, holds Mishav Shav. The heat of the coals causes the blood to come out, and the Hilchasa is Mishav Shav. Says the Gemara, we spoke about Umtza the Asmik, a piece of meat that has a bloodshot, that blood got accumulated in it. And now you roasted it. If the juice that comes out from it is the juice that comes out from it, usur. If it's red, you may not eat that, have that, because the blood, that's considered blood. There's a whole different explanation in Chalya. That's the first pshat in Rashi. The asmik is talking about the piece of meat that had this blood shot, and because it has this accumulation of blood in that spot, even though you did roast it, if there's still red juice coming out of this piece of meat, we have to be concerned that it wasn't yet, that all the blood did not yet come out. But then Rashi gives another pshat. Rashi says that challah means chaymetz, vinegar. And you put the piece of meat into vinegar after you roasted it. And if, when you put in vinegar, the vinegar gets a reddish color, the vinegar is usur. If it doesn't get a reddish color, it's mutter. So again, chalye, if the juice that comes out is reddish, usur. That piece of meat is usur. Loy asmik. But if the juice that comes out is not reddish, chalye shari. Ravirama filu loy asmik. Even if it's not reddish, nami chalye, the juice that comes out, esur. Because even though it doesn't look reddish to us, says Ravina, there must be some red in it, even though we don't notice it. Our father would ingest that liquid. And he wasn't concerned that this juice is blood. They used to put meat into vinegar. The question is to help take out the blood. If you used it once, you shouldn't use it a second time. We don't rely on chalita. The Rishonim say that we don't know how to do chalita. Mashna chalta matama, says the Gemara, why is this different than weak vinegar? What do we worry about, that the vinegar loses its strength? And what happens if originally you used weak vinegar? It's on a chaltinim bay, we use it. Answers the Gemara, Hasam, when we use weak vinegar, Isl kiyu de per b'enei. Even though it's a weak vinegar, it still has the acid of the fruit from which the vinegar was made in it, and that causes the blood to come out. Hacha, but when you use the vinegar once, Leisl kiyu de per b'enei, it loses its strength, and once it loses its strength, then the halacha is you can't use it again.